Well, we've been in this sermon series called Next Door as we've been looking at the greatest commandment that Jesus gave us. When Jesus was asked, what is the great commandment? What is, you know, how would you sum up all 613 laws of Moses? Is there's one way, one thing that we can do that summarizes everything. Then Jesus says this in Matthew 22. He says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. And this is the greatest commandment. But he says the second one is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. That Jesus elevated loving God and loving neighbor and says that they're on the same plane, that they are like it, that they are connected, that the way that we love our neighbor is the same in which we love God. And so over the course of the sermon series, we've been looking at how we can actually love our neighbor. Not just in a spiritual sort of way or not just love our neighbor in our heart, but really love our neighbor and maybe even our actual neighbors. Well, that's what we're talking about. So, but that can be tricky sometimes, right? And so that's what we're going to talk about today is those people, really kind of which neighbor that we can love, those that we can go out to, those that we have those natural connection with, those that Jesus calls us to, maybe in the very beginning, those that we can get to know. Because as we all know, even as we chuckle a little bit, that the reality is that we're lonelier than ever before, or at least we're aware of it. But loneliness is at epidemic proportions. That everywhere we go, we know how lonely people are, and we know how we are when we pull up into our house, we push a button, the garage door opens, we're able to pull in, and even if we happen to park outside because we've got so much stuff in our garage, that's kind of how my house is, then I still walk in through the garage, I push the button, the door comes back down, and it's difficult to get to know those people right outside our doors. And even throughout this sermon series, when I was thinking about those neighbors that I don't know and those that I reach out to, all I see are garage doors and closed doors in my neighborhood. But we know that this can be difficult. When Brandy and I first graduated college, we moved to Arizona. And that was one of those situations which we knew absolutely no one. And we wondered, you know, how do we meet people? How do we meet our neighbors? How do we make friends? What groups do we get connected to? And so, of course, we went to church. And after a couple weeks, we went to a church and we finally met someone who really engaged with us, and I hope that's not your experience here today. If not, please stop by, grab a donut. We'd love to say hi to you. But we met somebody who engaged with us, and I said, you know, I moved here, and I'm going to seminary. I'm studying to be a pastor. And he says, oh, I'm a professor at one of the seminaries here. And we got to talking, and he told me, he says, you know, when you live in Phoenix, that this is kind of a transient community. There's so many people that are from somewhere else. Which was kind of awesome, you know, living there. One of the great questions you could ask somebody is, where are you from? Because they were from all over. But he says the challenge is that people will come here for work, they'll move, but then they're oftentimes going to get moved somewhere else, and so people don't even bother to make friends with each other because they know you're probably going to leave at some point. And then he said, I hope you have a lot of success here. Have a nice day. And he left. And Brandy and I were like, what, we could go to lunch or somebody? We don't know anyone. But of course, we didn't know about like websites like Rent a Friend, because this is an actual website where if you need a friend. So, you know, from $15 to $20 an hour, you can rent a friend to come and hang out with you, maybe attend a wedding or a party or some event that you have going on. You know, maybe you can even rent a friend to do those kind of, you know, really good friend kind of task, like maybe help you with your laundry or go and stand in line for tickets, something like that. But if you really need a friend, you can go and rent one. If you happen to be a great friend, if you're just like, I am such a good friend, I can make some money, you can set up a little profile there and maybe somebody will rent you and you can go and be a friend for someone else. This is a real website, so feel free to pull out your phones and if you need a friend. And but yeah, I mean, this is incredible. It's real. But even in the UK, they know that loneliness is such a challenge that they've even commissioned a minister of loneliness. Tracy Crouch is the new minister of loneliness, and she started last year. She's been on the post for the last year. And they found within the UK that they found over 9 million people have reported being lonely. And even suffering the health effects of loneliness, such as depression. And And so they want somebody who's on the job, developing policies, keeping an eye on this, helping people connect with each other. And one thing they found is 200,000 elderly people have not connected with a family member or a friend for over 2 months, right there in the UK. So they know that this is a challenge. And even from a government level, they want to try to speak to the loneliness that's all around them. And when I think about this, I see things like rent a friend. I know it in my own life. I can see where we're creating government policies around this. I think more than ever, the church needs to be the church. The church needs to be a place where people can belong. The church needs to be a place where we welcome other people, where we know our neighbors, where we reach out, not only in this place, but in our very neighborhoods, to our actual neighbors, to the people that we see, maybe even to the people that are in the cubicle next to us during the week, but that we reach out in meaningful ways, that we have conversations, we look in their eyes, and we say, how are you? How are you doing? How is your family? How's your children? How things going for you? What are your hopes and dreams? That we have these kind of real conversations more than ever. We need to be the people that Jesus has called us to be. And that's what we see is, we actually see that Jesus uses this as a strategy in Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 1, he says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into this harvest field. Go. I'm sending you out like lambs among the wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. And when you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. And if someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. And if not, it will return to you. But stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. You see, it tells us as Jesus is continuing his ministry and he turns towards Jerusalem and begins that journey in which he will come into Jerusalem and give his life for you and for me, that he begins somewhat of an internship program for these disciples, that as he begins to entrust them with ministry, he says, I'm going to send you ahead two by two to go into the towns that I'm going to visit and to go there and to go and to announce the kingdom of God. To go in there and really to prepare the way, but not only to prepare the way, to go and to be yourselves. And he tells them why they are to do this. He says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send more workers. You know, if I think about this, that if loneliness really is genuinely at epidemic levels, if you and I really do feel this loneliness and the people around us really are this lonely, if this really is our reality, then we can think about it in this way, that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. That the people around us need genuine connections because you and I were created to be in relationship. That within the very character and nature of God is Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That we were created to be in fellowship with God, and what sin has done is distorted and created this distance between us and God, has broken this relationship, and part of the repair that God is doing in the world is bringing people back to each other and bringing people back to God, restoring these relationships. And so really our really base mission, purpose, being in this world is to be in relationship with each other. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. People willing to say, yes, send me, God. I can go and be a friend to the people around me. He says, why you are to go? The harvest is plentiful. But this is who you go to. You go to these people of peace. You see, when Jesus sends them out, he doesn't send them with this this intensive training program. He doesn't send them out and say, you know, say these words. He doesn't send them out and say, go knock on doors and be awkward. He says, go to the people and say to these houses, peace. Don't take anything with you. Keep it simple. You don't need a bag. You don't need sandals. You don't need all this stuff with you. Just go. And when you say to a house, peace, if someone says, peace be with you, they return the peace, then look for a person of peace, is what he's saying. He says, look for those people you have that connection with. And he says, if they don't receive you, then move on. And the verses following this, he'll talk more about that. But he says, you're going to go and you're going to encounter people. Some will accept you and some won't. But to those who accept you, those who have those natural connections, those who have those affinities, those who are those people of peace, he says, go into them. Eat, drink with them, be with them, hang out with them, enjoy company with them. Stay there until you depart, essentially. He says, you don't have to go from house to house. Go to the ones who receive you. Go and be friends. Go to those who you have those connections with. While I was in college, I did many courses and little studies in evangelism. You know, kind of, you know, sometimes when we think about evangelism, it can be one of those words that, well, we dislike and we despise, because all we think about are kind of the awkward things that we might have to say, or the awkward things that were said to us. And but I would do all these kind of studies. I even had kind of a pocket New Testament that I could open up with verses highlighted if anybody wanted to talk about anything. And so one of my favorite things I would do is a friend of mine, we would go to the dorms at our college, and we would wait for somebody to open up the door, and then we would sneak in because we didn't live at the dorms. And so we would go to the dorms and we would knock on the doors, and when people would open up, we'd ask them, did they go to church anywhere? And, you know, what would happen to you if you die, and all this other stuff, all the really cool questions you can think of. But then one day, and I remember this because it changed how I thought about everything. We knocked on this door, and this person said, oh, come in. And we said, okay. So we kind of opened up the door, and he was just sitting there inside. He said, oh, come in, come in. And we said, hey, we're from this church, and we're going around. We're kind of talking to people and all that kind of stuff. And he said, well, have a seat. And then we would chat a little bit, and he was in college, and he was a guy, so he played guitar. So he picked up his guitar, and he said, hey, you know, I'm going to play you a song. So he played a song for us, and we were just hanging out. He asked us what we like to do, and we told him, and we said, hey, you know, we have a softball team. And he says, I'll come play softball. I used to play baseball, and I would love to come play softball. And we're like, yes, a ringer for our team. And so we were like, yeah, come play softball with us. And so we hung out for a little bit, and then we left. And that guy came and played softball with us. And really what he was teaching us was to be a friend. Really what he was for us was he was teaching us to be a person of peace. That we didn't have to go and keep knocking on doors and being weird and awkward and doing things that really weren't even comfortable for us to do. But we could go and just be friends with people. Invite them to join us. Invite them into our lives. And he invited us into his life. And that's what a person of peace does. A person of peace is someone who's open to you. A person of peace is someone who invites you to come and to join them. A person of peace may even serve you by making you a meal and inviting you in. Those are the kind of people Jesus said that you and I ought to look for. So when we think about those neighbors on our street, those are the people that Jesus says, go to them first. The people that you've been waving to and you've been thinking, oh, I ought to go and talk to them. Or the people that you've had these connections with, maybe at the school or at the park in your neighborhood, or those that you've seen passing by from time to time, and to think about, you know, actually, I want to go and get to know them a little bit more. Those are the people Jesus says you ought to go to. Look for the people of peace and be people of peace. Another way it could look like is a turquoise table. Kristen Schell is a mom who lives in Austin. She's a mother of four. She volunteers at her church, And they were talking about how they might reach their neighbors, and she was thinking, you know, I want to do more for my neighborhood. I don't know my neighbors very well, and she really wasn't sure what to do until one day they were hosting a party in their backyard, and she ordered a picnic table. And when it was shipped to her house, she says she knew exactly what she needed to do. And so after that party, she moved it to the front yard, and she painted it turquoise. And then she says she went out, and she sat at that picnic table, and she took some stuff with her because she didn't want to be weird or awkward while she was sitting out there. And so she took her computer and her phone and some things that she needed to work on. And she said it was 3 hours in to sitting at this picnic table that the first neighbor came by and said, "Can I have a seat?" And they began to talk and to begin to meet each other. And every day she would go out to this picnic table. And she says now that there's a group of women who come to this table and they meet together and they share their life together, that oftentimes she says she'll go out and she'll bring a cup of coffee and some people will stop by for 15 minutes and have a cup of coffee. And she says she knows more of her neighbors now than she ever did before. And it's even created this movement that's called Front Yard People, in which they take a lot of their activities that they would normally do in the backyard and they bring it out into the front yard, and so the people in their neighborhood can join in and be part of it. And in a similar sort of fashion in Colorado, there was a family, Kevin Osberg, and they decided to move their fire pit into the front yard. And this was inspired by a conversation they had with one of their neighbors, in which the neighbor said that the Ospergs really were kind of the glue for the neighborhood. And they thought, if that's true, they said, I don't really know that many people in the neighborhood, but we want to change that. And so they moved the fire pit into the front yard, and they had supplies to make s'mores, and they turned their refrigerator into the garage, into a place people could go and get a cold beverage. And so people would come in. They said at first the kids would come, and they would make the s'mores, and then pretty soon the parents would come too. And they said they began to know more and more people in the neighborhood, that they even started hosting a Thanksgiving dinner, and they would have all these little get-togethers in their neighborhood. But he says it doesn't have to look like becoming a party planner. He says what happens is when people came over, he says they just asked them about their lives. Ask them how work was going. Ask them how their family was. Just had very real conversations with them. They just leaned into those natural connections that they had. And this happened for me one day with my children, who would oftentimes play with the kids next door. And they would come into my house, they would go over to their house, but we really didn't know the neighbors. And then even our you know, my son and their son, they would go around and have lightsaber fights in, you know, my house, and sometimes they would carry over into their house and they'd just be going back and forth. And then one Saturday they came over and they said, "Hey, the neighbors are going to the park, can we go?" And we said, "Okay." And so we walked outside and the mom was there, and she says, "I'm going to the park, and you know, can the kids come?" I said, actually, we'll come too. And so we walked to the park with her. And as we were sharing our stories together, she said, "You know, my husband is the imam of the mosque in Frisco." And I thought, what's the odds that an imam and a Frisco and a Methodist pastor would live next door to each other? And so as we began to share our stories together, we realized that we had so much in common, creating messages together on a weekly basis, and, you know, the different committees we serve on at church, and we realized that our people were so similar. And then we even discovered that we liked the same TV shows, that we were watching The Flash and Supergirl, and we loved the Avengers movies, and we're just like, wow, this is so incredible, and we had no idea. And this all happened because we said, "Yes, we'll go to the park with you." Because when I think about this, this is what it's like to follow Jesus. It really is as simple as that. And even Mr. Rogers, who teaches us all about what it is to be a neighbor, said this. He says, "You know, I think everybody longs to be loved and longs to know that he or she is lovable. And the greatest thing we can do is to help somebody know they're loved and capable of loving." You see, the thing I think about, because if I'm honest with you, I don't always want to reach out to my neighbors. You know, if I'm honest with you, I would say oftentimes my neighbors annoy me. But when I think about this kind of thing, and I think about what Jesus has really called me to be, and I believe called us to be, in the very homes and the neighborhoods we are, because I don't think it's a coincidence we live where we are, that we get to be those people of peace in our neighborhood. And God is calling us to go with those first people we get to be connected to, those people of peace for us. And when I think about that, I think about how I have the incredible opportunity to get to know a person that God loves and that God knows, and that I get to discover what it is that God loves about them. That as they share their lives, as they open up, as they tell me stories, as they tell me where they're from and, you know, things that's going on in their lives, I get to say in my heart, oh, God loves this person. God, thank you that I get to know them too. Before I didn't know them. But now I know someone else, God, that you love. And so I just want to invite you and the neighborhoods you live in and those people where you seem to occupy that same sort of space day after day, hour after hour, but really don't quite know them just yet. I want to invite you to say, God, I'm willing to go and meet that person. I'm willing to go and open up my life to them. I'm willing to go to say hi, maybe even go knock on the door and say, hey, I'm your neighbor. I know we've not gotten the chance to meet, so I just wanted to meet you and say hi. But to say, God, I'm willing to be a person of peace in my neighborhood. So, Lord, lead me to those people of peace all around you and all around me. People that you love. People that you are showering grace upon. Because, God, I want to love the people that you love. Will you pray with me? And as the band comes up, I just want to invite you to think about that one neighbor, that one person. Maybe that person that you've waved at, that person that you've seen outside, that person you know that you could reach out to. Maybe that person that you know who they are, but you can't quite remember their name. And pray for them. Pray that they would know God's love. Pray that they wouldn't be lonely. And today, offer up this prayer to God. Say, God, here am I, send me. I will go and be a person of peace, a person that you send. Because, God, I know I don't need training. I don't need any equipment. I don't need the right words. Just you, Lord, shining through me. Because, God, my heart is open. And so, God, our hearts are open to you today. Lord, as your grace has come to us, your grace meets us where we are, your grace tells us that we're not alone, that we are yours, and that, God, you have called us to share that love by opening up our lives. Maybe even just saying, I'm a friend. So God, I pray for opportunity. God, I pray for courage. God, I pray for people of peace all around us. Because Lord, we know that we're not where we live by accident, but that you have called us, you've placed us there. So Lord, whether we put a picnic table in our front yard, a fire pit, or we just walk across the street, Lord, may we say yes to you and how you are calling and shaping us today. We pray all this in Jesus' name.